أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. سورة الانشقاق verses 16 onwards. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فلا أقسم بالشفق والليل وما وسق والقمر إذا اتسق لتركبن طبقا عن طبق. So I swear by the evening glow, by the night and what it is fraught with, by the moon when it looms full, you will surely fare from stage to stage. This is of course a sort of outcome of the discussions which went before in the surah about the human beings laboring towards his Lord through different stages, and now it is a sort of conclusion and emphasis on what went before. So it starts by a swear. So I swear by Shafaq. Shafaq is usually translated as the redness which appears in the evening, the redness of Maghrib, when the night falls and the day wants to shift to the night, a redness would appear which has a glow, and that's why Shafaq has caused some difficulty to explain, because some have interpreted as brightness, some have interpreted as darkness, and it's because it's a transitional period, and therefore the best translation would be what we have here, evening glow, that red glow, redness which glows before nightfall, and also وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقْ, and night and whatever it gathers together. وَسَقْ, وَسَقَ means gathers together. Now, this قَسَمْ فَلَا أُقْسَمُ, we have discussed this before. This la means I do not swear. فَلَا أُقْسَمُ means I do not swear, literally. However, this is not what is meant here. It is actually a swear. However, the la comes, as the grammarians say, for either emphasis, and that's why they say it's redundant. It means that it doesn't have the real meaning of negation. Usually la is used for negation, but they say it's not used for negation here, it's used for emphasis. However, there's another interpretation for that, and that is, I do not swear to these things. That means these are so huge signs of Allah that I do not want to swear by these things, but I draw your attention to these things which I mentioned here. But this is not usually what the grammarians and interpreters of the Quran have said. The other meaning of this la which is here is that it negates what argument the people might put forward for the previous discussions, and saying that I say that it is not the case as you put forward. I therefore swear by Shafaq wal layli wa ma wasa. Whatever it is stronger than ordinary qasam. When we say uqsamu bishafaq, is not as strong as we say fala uqsamu bishafaq. It's much stronger, and that's why the grammarian says this la is redundant. It doesn't have the meaning of negation, however it emphasizes the qasam itself. So why shafaq and why night, wal layli wa ma wasaq, and also wal qamari idha tasaq, by the moon when it blooms full. Now if we look at these natural phenomena, we will see that all have this idea of transition. the day when it comes to the end and there is a transition period, which is Shafaq. Shafaq is the transition period. It's neither dark nor bright. Nor we have the daylight, nor we have the darkness of the night. So it is that transition period, and it's red. It gives this idea of some sort of revolution, some sort of dramatic transition of day to the night, and therefore it goes very well with what was discussed before here, that you are going to go through different stages, and these stages, some of them are very dramatic when you transform from one stage to another stage. And also nightfall, although it's utter darkness, but it brings all creatures together. Human beings who have scattered during the day, spread out to their work and everything, they come back to their homes during the night. Animals who are out in the day, they come back together during the night. So there is this idea of things coming back together again, things which were sent out coming back again together. So that transitional period, Shafaq, of day to night, look how what night does, that nightfall, which you think is darkness, it's something which is not very pleasing and desirable, but it has a function of bringing you together again. And this is what will happen when the transition of this world to the next world comes. It brings things which were scattered here and there under the dust together. And again, another thing which has this idea of transition, when we see the moon going from its initial hilal crescent to different stages until it becomes a full moon. It gives again the idea that things have a gradual transition from a less developed stage to fuller, more developed stages. So, وَالْقَمَرَ إِذَا اتَّسَعَ by the moon, but when it blooms full, of course, when it goes through all these stages and it blooms full. So, what after all these? Well, there is an indication in all these of what was said before, and then of course this qasam is meant here to say something which is quite pertinent to these natural phenomena. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقًا. You will surely fare from stage to stage. As all these phenomena were going from stage to stage, and you see what these stages would bring, and you see the moon when it starts from the crescent and going to the full moon, you human beings would start from a fetus and you will go to your full growth. Of course, this will not come in this world, it goes through. So you have to go through different stages. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. طَبَق is when you put something above something else. So there is the meaning of progress. There is the meaning of going forward, progression in this طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. You go from a lower stage to a higher stage to a higher stage until you come to your full bloom, so to speak. As the moon goes to its full bloom, you go to your full bloom as well. And that is when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what was said before was that, Ya ayyuha al-insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi. You are going through hard, you are going through hardships and difficulties, the stage after the stage, so that you come to your full bloom, you will see or meet your Lord. And here, the same thing. I swear by these things that you see, have stages, have transitions. لَتَرَكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. You will surely fare from stage to stage. Now, what follows assumes that there is enough evidence in whatever is said, and in whatever we see around us, and there is enough wit and talent in human beings that when they reflect inside themselves, they should find out that this is the case. Actually, what we are told in different traditions and what we understand ourselves is that even if no prophet were sent to us, it would have been sufficient for us to reflect and think to find out that we are not created just for this world. We are going through stages. We will develop and bloom to our fuller and more developed stages. We should have understood this by ourselves. However, this is an extra bonus, a support for whatever we understand. We have in many traditions that Allah has sent you or has given you two prophets. One prophet is inside you, and that is your reason, your intellect. That is the more important of the two. And the other prophet is the prophet which is sent to you from outside. And if you do not use your inner prophet, your inner hujjah, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حُجَّتَانِ, Allah has two hujjah, two proofs with every human being. One proof is the proof inside, and that's human intellect and human fitrah. And the other proof are the prophets which are sent. And the prophets coming to us are secondary. The more important hujjah and proof is what we have inside ourselves as our fitrah. And if that doesn't work properly, the prophets who come from outside would not help us. And that's the case. The unbelievers who do not want to listen to the voice of their inner prophet, they never can benefit from the outer prophets who come and preach us. If whatever the prophets coming from outside tell us is just a reminder of what we should know ourselves, and that's why the Quran always says, إِنَّ هَذِهِ تَذْكِرَةٌ, this is just a reminder. فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرٌ, remind them, you are just a reminder. You are just someone who reminds them of what they already know. And therefore, there is an assumption here that everyone should believe in this. Why do they not believe? Why do they not follow? Why do they not appreciate what you are doing for them, reminding them of what they already know, the dangers ahead of them, reminding them how they are going to develop? So the question comes, فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. So what is matter? What is the matter with them that they will not believe? So as I said, there is an assumption here that even had you not tell them anything, had you not told them anything, they should have believed by themselves. They should have found out their ways. And we have seen that in eras where there were no prophets, in places where there were no prophets, there were certain people who found their ways by reflection, by going through self-purification and listening to the voice of their fitrah, they found their ways. And even if Allah had not sent any prophets, human beings would have developed the way they developed. And it's like a natural growth of things, of plants, of animals. And human beings would grow in this way, going through all these stages. The only thing is that human beings are given free will, and therefore they are at a very, very great peril and danger. They might destroy themselves, and that's why Allah wants to make sure that this would not happen, not knowing what they are doing. And that's why the prophets are sent. Otherwise, human beings should find their ways by themselves. However, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذَّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا, this is a grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Extra mercy, that we would not punish, we would not let you go into directions which are not desirable for you unless we send a prophet and a reminder. A reminder here is very, very important. So, what is the matter with them that they will not believe? وَإِذَا قُرْهَا عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنِ فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ وَإِذَا قُرْئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنُ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ, and when the Quran is recited to them, they will not prosper. Here prostration is not literal prostration. It's just the meaning of why do they not humble themselves to these words? Why do they not pay attention? And by paying attention, submit and become humble to these very, very clear signs which we show them. It is the same argument again. This Quran contains whatever your fitrah should tell you, whatever your intellect should find out. And therefore, if you reflect, you have to humble before these words when this is recited to you. This verse, إِذَا قُرَأَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنَ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ, is one of the verses of Sajda. However, of course, do not worry, we do not do Sajda here now, because it would somehow disturb the order of the session. And Alhamdulillah, this is not a Sajda wajibah. This is not an obligatory Sajda of Quran. You know, there are 15 places in the Quran which are mentioned by exegetes and jurists which require, after you recite them, it requires a Sajda. However, of these 15 places, there are 4 places in which Sajda is obligatory. What is the reason behind it? We really don't know. These surahs in which Sajdas are obligatory are called Adha'in. Adha'in is the plural of Azima. Azima means there is no rukhsa in it. There is no permission to leave it. You have to do Sajda when you hear these verses. And these are in Chapter 32, Surah Alif Lam Mim As-Sajda. Chapter 41, Ha Mim As-Sajda. Then we have Chapter 53, Surah An-Najm. And Chapter 96, Surah Alaq. These are the 4 places in which, when you come to these ayat of Sajda, you have to prostrate. And according to Shi'i fiqh, you are not allowed to recite these verses, these surahs, in your wajib prayer, in your daily prayers, or any other prayer which is wajib, because when you recite it, then you have to do sajda. And if you do sajda, you have added one sajda to your prayer. According to Sunni jurisprudence, it is allowed. And when you recite it, you have to go to sajda during your prayer, and this added sajda is not regarded as an added sajda, as a sajda of the salat. So, according to that, to their jurisprudence, is permissible. According to what we have received from A'imma alayhimus salam, from Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, it's not permissible. It's not permissible for example, for a person who's not on major ablution to recite. And there are some other rulings regarding these ayat, these chapters altogether, because the placement of these verses of obligatory sajda in these surahs would make them somehow more honorable and more respected in a sense. The other 11 places where these sajda verses are other 11 or 10 chapters, because one chapter, Surah Hajj, has 2 verses of Sajda in it. So the other 10 chapters are not regarded as Surah Al-Aza'im, so you are allowed to recite them in your daily prayer, in your obligatory prayer, and you do not need to do Sajda when you are reciting them, you do the Sajda afterwards. If you recite them, like for example, if you recite this Surah Al-Shaqaq in your Mustahab Salah, in Nafila, for example, in Nafila to Layl, you recite Surah Al-Shaqaq, yes, during recitation of the Surah, you go to Sajda. And then you stand up and you continue your Salah. This is for Nafila, for Mustahab Salah, not for obligatory Salah. So we have in Araf, we have in Ra'ad, these are the chapters in which we have these Sajda Mustahabba. We have in Ra'ad, we have in Nahl, we have in Isra, we have in Naml, we have in Saad, and in Inshaqaq, and maybe and in Hajj, And I think these are the chapters in which we have this Sajda Mustahab. So this is one of those places where the Sajda is Mustahab. And of course, when you hear these verses, if it's obligatory, you have to. If it's Mustahab, you better go to Sajda. And you don't need to face Qibla or anything. You just prostrate and there is the zakr for it. The prostration is wajib, the zakr is Mustahab. And the zakr, you can just say La ilaha illallah. But if you want to say the full recorded zikr, what we have received from the Prophet and from the A'imma alayhimus salam, is La ilaha illallah haqqan haqqa, La ilaha illallah imanan wa tasdiqa, La ilaha illallah ubudiyyatan wa raqqa, sajadtu laka ya rabb ta'abbudan wa raqqa, La mustankifan wa la mustakbar, بل أنا عبد ذليل ضعيف خائف مسكين مستجيب. This is the full formula for the recitation of this Sajda of Quran. It's called Sajda of Quran. That means when you recite this, then you do the Sajda. So, what the argument was here is that by just hearing this from you, they have to believe. And by just hearing the verses of the Quran, they have to become humble. فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنَ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ. Now then, Allah gives a reason for this. The reason is not that human beings do not understand these things. Usually the kuffar were saying to the Prophet that we do not understand what you say. You look like a madman to us. What you say looks like superstitions, look like very, very meaningless words for us. Nonsense. You see, some modern philosophers say that whatever is contained in religious argument is nonsense. That means it makes no sense, it makes no meaning. Now, they were saying the same thing to the Prophet, that this is nonsense. Nonsense in the sense that we do not understand any meaning out of what you say. You say that you have to worship one God, you say that you will go through stages and you come to meet your Lord, Day of Judgment. In Surah Fussilat, وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا فِي أَكِنَّةٍ مِمَّا تَدْعُونَا إِلَيْهِ. Our hearts are covered, are sealed about regarding what you tell us. وَفِي آذَانِنَا وَقْرٌ. It's like you are reciting these things to a deaf person. We really do not make sense of what you say. وَفِي آذَانِنَا وَقْرٌ وَمِن بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكَ حِجَابٌ. It seems as there's a barrier between us. We talk, it seems as we are living in two worlds. This was a very forceful argument they were putting against the Prophet. It seems as we are living in two worlds. You talk about certain things which are not understandable for us. فَأَمَلْ إِنَّنَا عَامِلُونَ. So, you live in your world, we live in our world. Let everyone have their own world, what they understand. Now, the answer, of course, the answer comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because then Allah says, قُلْ, tell them, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِّثْلُكُمْ. Now, your argument is not right. Because I am a human being, you are a human being. We have to understand each other. And if I say these things out of a fitra, a human fitra, you are human beings as well. You have to understand this. Of course, there is a difference here. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. Revelation comes to me. But it doesn't make any difference in our common elements, in our common essence, and we are both human beings. So you have to understand what I say. And therefore, if you do not listen, if you do not understand, you are responsible. It's not the case that you say, we do not understand, so we are not responsible. You have to understand this. It's just like, for example, if in a certain area of jurisdiction, you say that I did not know the law. They say not knowing the law would not make an excuse. Why? Because every person, every member of this community should somehow know the laws which would, violation of which would establish a crime. So here Allah says, in that verse of course, says, no, you have to understand this. If you do not understand, you do not want to understand. And here is the same argument. بَلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذَّبُونَ. Rather, the faithless deny. Now, the faithless here, kufr is rejection. Those who want to reject this idea, they deny it. It's not the case that they do not understand. They reject. They understand and they reject. And this is why they are held responsible. This is why the atheists, as we say, are held responsible on the day of judgment. Sometimes the argument comes from atheists that we do not understand, we do not know. Even if there is a day of judgment, even if there is a resurrection, we are not responsible. Now, the verses say, no, you are responsible. You are kafir. You are rejecting something which your fetra should know. And this, of course, has many, many different causes and reasons, however, responsibility would not go away. And we have in Surah A'raf that we have taken a pledge from every individual, every human individual. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. When you were in loins of your fathers, when you were still in your very, very original, initial stages of your creation, we put this knowledge in you. Now, let's forget about Alam al-Dhar and these things. We have discussed this before. That's a very controversial issue. But at the very, very earliest stages of your creation, we have put this knowledge in you. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. I made yourself witness. That, am I not your Lord? You said yes. That means, not in the sense that you said yes, in the sense that yes, I took you to a plane of existence and told you I am your Lord, you saw me, and you accept. We don't go into such arguments. It's just, what we understand from this verse is that this knowledge of the Lord, this knowledge of the Creator, is something which were put in us before we started to develop. وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. Now, the reason why we did this is that أَنْ تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. So that on the day of judgment, you do not say we are not responsible, we were ignorant of this. We were brought up in a way that we could not realize, we could not know. And specifically, it talks about the social environment. Social environment would not take away your responsibility from you. أَوْ تَقُولُوا إِنَّمَا أَشْرَكَ آبَاؤُنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ وَكُنَّا ذُرِّيَّةً مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. Our fathers, our forefathers, our society, they all were disbelievers, polytheists, ul kuffar, and we just children, we were brought up in such a society. أَفَتُهْلِكُنَا بِمَا فَعَلَ الْمُبْتَلُونَ. You are putting us, punishing us for what others have done. This is not our fault, it's their fault. Now, Allah says, we have given to you, you have put this knowledge in every individual so that you do not say these things on the day of judgment. And you will see that in very atheist societies that we have, for example, in communist societies, we have people coming with pure faith. This is not something of upbringing. Upbringing is important, of course, and that is an element which is taken into consideration when the day of judgment comes. However, that's not the full cause. The full cause, it would have been the full cause if this initial intrinsic knowledge was not put in us. So, here, what Allah says is the same argument. It's not something that people can deny. It's after they reject this, voluntarily, they deny. بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يكذبون والله أعلم بما يؤون. And Allah, of course, best knows knows best what they keep to themselves. What part of this is due to kufr? What part of it is due to other elements? What part of it is due to rejection? What part of it is due to upbringing? Is due to different, even dispositions of human character? All these things we will take into account. But the most important reason for denial is that kufr. بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُؤُونَ. And we have, of course, in many other places, that we take, when the day of judgment comes, when the moment for account will come, we will take everything into consideration. However, your responsibility would not go away. وَلَا يُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah would not burden anyone more than what had been given to them, what they could offer. وَلَدَيْنَا كِتَابٌ يَنْتُقُ بِالْحَقِّ. And we have a book for every person which speaks the truth about them. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. No one will be wrong. So about ظُلْم, about Allah's mistaken wrongdoing, we have to rest assured that this will not take place. This will not happen. And sometimes these questions come to our mind. Is it right, for example, Allah punishing someone who has not been responsible for their kufr, or have not been responsible for what their society were doing, what their upbringing was? All these will come into consideration. Certainly, لَدَيْنَا كِتَابٌ يَنْتُقُ بِالْحَقِّ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. No one will be wrong. However, this would not justify kufr. Kufr is something which comes from the deepest layers of human soul, in which that intrinsic knowledge of Allah is placed. So, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُؤُونَ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. So warn them of painful punishment. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. Except, now this إِلَّا, we have two types of exception, exclusion in Arabic, استثناء. One is استثناء متصل, the other one is استثناء منفصل. استثناء متصل is when you exclude a group of people from a larger group in which they are a part of. استثناء منفصل is excluding a group from another group which they were not a part of. But metaphorically you call it an exclusion. They were not part of them right from the beginning, so you say, accept them. Here, of course, these الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ are not part of the kuffar. So they say, this is مُتَّصِل, مُنْفَصِل, it's not a مُتَّصِل. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمُونَ. Except such as are faithful and do righteous deeds, there will be an everlasting reward for them. Now, غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ, مَمْنُونَ is from مَن. And مَن is when you give something to someone else, you expect that they appreciate. And that expecting of appreciation is a sort of, creates a sort of bad feeling in them, certainly. This is مَن. And يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. When you give sadaqah to someone, do not just bring it up again and again. Do not mention it to them again and again, expecting that they have to appreciate, because that would spoil the whole pleasure and goodness of what you have given. Now, here for Allah, we cannot say that there is no such a, whatever Allah gives, He has a minna on us. We have to have this sense of course, He does not mention it to us, as in this world, He never mentions whatever we have done. But we have to have that sense of appreciation ourselves. That minna is there all the time. So here, that's why this غَيْرُ مَمْنُون is taken to its other meaning, which is everlasting. Not cut off ever. Forever, it continues everlastingly. So, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except such as are faithful and do righteous deeds, لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. There will be an everlasting reward for them which goes forever and ever. وصلى الله على محمد وآله.
We should
be able to do it, but no exegetes has actually given that meaning to this shafaq here. They always say, and usually shafaq is used for the redness of Maghrib, not for the morning. But in ordinary language we use it. We use it for that redness as well. And that's why in many timetables you have shafaq time as well. Yeah. For the fajr, for the morning.
When you talk about the prophet within, the Hujjah within, sometimes there is a conflict. Now, obviously, with the unbelievers, we can say it's very clear. It's more extreme, and they are merely misguided. But even in the case of believers, you know, like we have lots of Ramadi, and we might say, well, this doesn't make sense for what is the reason behind it?
No, you see, Hujjah within talks about very basic and general things to us, like that we have a creator, there is an aim to our life, not about different fatwas which we have to go and study for years and find out, or for example, this sense of inquiry in human beings and understanding, that we can understand things, is innate, it is in every human being, and that's why the science can develop. However, that doesn't mean that by that innate sense we can understand which scientific theory is right, which scientific theory is wrong. That very essence of understanding and inquiry is put into every human being. And the same thing is about knowledge about God, knowledge that we should have an aim in this life, and these very general things. Otherwise, certainly issues about fatwa, how we have to pray, how we have to follow the experts. That's very clear. Although, sorry, Ghazali has a very nice statement, which he says is hadith, but it's not established that it's hadith. He says, "Istafta qalbak, wa in aftauk wa aftauk." If the jurists give fatwa to you, you go to your heart and do istifsar from your heart and see what your heart says. However, again, this means that sometimes the fatwa, because law is a sort of complicated system that sometimes comes up, if you put different aspects of law together, you can come up with very strange type of results and conclusions. And sometimes that goes against rules of justice. And therefore, sometimes we need really to look into our heart and sense of justice, whether this fatwa, which is a product of these legal complications, is conforming with the rules of justice. Sometimes.
The way I understand is that there are two main pillars of beliefs. One is the belief in God, and the other one is the belief in the Day of Judgment. So these two are always in the fitra of any person, irrespective of where he or she is born, whether in a completely 100% kuffar family. So at one stage, the fitra will tell him or her that there is a God and there is a Day of Judgment. Is that right?
Yes, there is an Akhirah. An Akhirah means there is an aim which will be fulfilled later on. And Quran in many places mentions that those who do not believe in Akhirah will be punished. Just the very fact that they do not believe in Akhirah, there is a punishment there, because that's a violation of the fitrah. This is the, very rightly you have mentioned, the two pillars, believe in God, believe in something which comes after this.
Very good. You just mentioned that our secret thoughts are very basic things like civil lives, etc. But does it not do a little bit more than that? For example, every human being knows cheating is wrong, lying is wrong, regardless of where they come from and their religion. We call these universal human values, but where does it come from? Animals don't seem to have this.
Yeah, that's right. That's a basic sense of justice. The sense of justice, again, is one of the very, very basic elements which is the root of human society, isn't it? Without that, human society cannot continue living. And that's why different societies legislate laws. And the way they justify these laws, again, is that inner sense of justice of every human being and their community. So, no, we have many different things. Now we are talking about God and Akhirah, but human conscience, for example, which comes from that sense of justice as well. Also, for example, the sense of going for things which make life easier all the time. That's again something which is in that sense of inquiry and wanting to know is another basic thing which is placed in human soul or in human existence. So we can, I mean, if we analyze, we can find many different basic things which are there. But now we are talking about God and Akhirah only. Otherwise, the Kuffar, for example, did not deny that sense of justice. So they believe in it.
Can this not also be a proof for people who are looking for proof? Because we're always talking about human beings evolving from this and that. Well, if this is a part of evolution, then some animals should have it, but nobody does, nothing does, except for human beings.
Well, we don't know if animals have that sense of justice or not. Probably they should have. I mean, from different things that, there are different evidence which show that even animals have that sense of justice. For example, animals never eat themselves, eat their own species. There are certain things in animal life which might be very, very interesting. I mean, there are very, very interesting stories about animal life. And a couple of them are mentioned in the Quran, like the story of Hudhud, even knowing about God and knowing that no one should prostrate but for God, the Huki in Surah An-Nam. And we are completely unaware of the world of animals, so we cannot say anything about them. Inshallah, on the Day of Judgment, we'll be friends with some of them and we find out, we ask them.
You mentioned that intellect as a process. Would you say that each and every person has the same initial intellect when they are born with, or?
No. I mean, human beings are different. As our faces are different, even our level of intellect, talent, you see, there are different aspects to intellect, and some of us might have one aspect stronger than other aspects, and that's why we develop in different ways. Some of us like art, for example, more than science. Some of us like religion more than art. And these are different aspects of talent, human talent, which by somehow giving different proportions to every human being, Allah makes us different from each other. And then by being different, we can develop a sustainable social life. So not everyone is the same at the beginning. But everyone is judged according to what is given to them. That's very important. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا.
Two things. One, I'd like to say I've just read the surah from the beginning to the end because we've discussed both Sundays, three Sundays, and I can understand where the Kuffar and Makkah are coming from. Because if you actually think about it, take the meaning in your head, and then recite it from the beginning to the end, you cannot but be taken away. It's totally takes your wisdom. And if can imagine, you know, the an early Meccan surah coming down and somebody reciting that in its entirety would blow your mind.
And in very beautiful Arabic. Yeah.
I mean, the way it's been put together, it doesn't hit you until it's in entirety.
Yeah.
The question here is that when it changes from the Falal Surah al-Shafaq, the first thing is, the Shafaq, is this, back home we used to think about the Maghrib time itself, of course, being kind of holy. It's where you switch your music off, you know, as soon as it's dark, okay, it's getting dark. Okay. Now, I don't know if there's precedent for this in other cultures, but we were definitely taught that when it comes to Maghrib, switch your music off if you're traveling in the car, you know, and you have on, maybe sort of wait until it actually gets very dark, and then you can put it back on again. But it was intrinsically entwined in it. I don't know if it was from the Indian culture or maybe there's precedent for this. And maybe it comes from here, I don't know. Could you explain that?
Well, in other religions, like Jewish religion, for example, Maghrib is a holy time as well. So, the very fact that we do Salatul Maghrib is because that's the time. These times which are set for Salat are times which are somehow holier than other times of the day, and especially about Maghrib, and we have all these things in jurisprudence that Salatul Maghrib should be done on time, and it is more important than other prayers to be done really on its time, and not letting the shafaq, not letting that redness to go away completely. Just do it when that redness is still there. But this sense that you say might have come from our Islamic culture, of course, that we think that Maghrib, and it might be something because. Really, Maghrib has both the shafaq of the morning and the shafaq of the evening. Both have that sort of appeal to very deep layers of human soul and human mind. So, even you see, those who do not believe in anything, they have very beautiful posters of Maghrib and Fajr, which is something which appeals to human soul very much. So that might be possible, yes. And usually our TVs, when they broadcast Azan, they want to show Allah, they show Shafaq of Maghrib, so.
Thank you,
Anwar. Thank you. Thanks.